Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Tuesday, September 24th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate to discuss a fascinating new study. Today we're discussing a groundbreaking study on psilocybin's potential to treat body dysmorphic disorder. Let's start with the basics. What is body dysmorphic disorder, and how does it relate to eating disorders?
Well, BDD is a real doozy of a mental health condition. Basically, folks with BDD get stuck obsessing over what they see as flaws in how they look. But these flaws are often imaginary or blown way out of proportion. It's like having a funhouse mirror in your head 24/7. Now, here's where it gets tricky. This obsession can lead people down a dangerous path of extreme dieting or exercising to try and fix these perceived defects. That's why we often see a connection to eating disorders.
While that's a decent overview, I think it's crucial we don't oversimplify the relationship between BDD and eating disorders. They're distinct conditions.
Hold up there, Kate. And I get what you're saying, but let's not ignore the fact that the study specifically mentions this connection. The researchers clearly saw a link worth exploring. It's not about oversimplifying, it's about acknowledging the complex interplay between these conditions.
Interesting points from both of you. Now let's dig into the meat of the study. It used psilocybin, the active ingredient in magic mushrooms. What exactly is psilocybin, and why might it be effective for BDD?
All right, let's break this down. Psilocybin is basically nature's own little mind bender. It's a psychedelic compound that occurs naturally in certain mushrooms. Now, before you start picturing hippies at Woodstock, hear me out. This stuff has shown some serious potential in treating various mental health conditions. It works by shaking up our brain chemistry and how we perceive things. Think of it like a reset button for your mind.
While that's a colorful description, Kate, we need to pump the brakes here. Psilocybin isn't some miracle cure-all. It's still a controlled substance.
Oh, come on, Eric. Nobody's saying it's a cure-all. But the potential benefits here could be absolutely life-changing for folks suffering from BDD. Did you even look at the study results? They showed significant symptom reduction. We're talking about giving people their lives back.
Look, I'm not trying to rain on anyone's parade here, but we need to keep our feet on the ground. This was a tiny pilot study with just 8 participants. That's barely enough people to field a baseball team. We need way more research before we start making grand proclamations about life-changing benefits.
Even so, you can't deny that the results are promising. The brain scans showed increased connectivity between regions related to emotional processing and self-perception. That's huge.
Sure, it's interesting, but let's not get carried away. We don't fully understand the long-term effects of messing with brain chemistry like this. It could have unforeseen consequences. We're talking about fundamentally altering how people perceive themselves and the world around them. That's not something to be taken lightly.
You both raise compelling points. Let's put this study in context. Can you think of a similar historic event where a controversial substance was studied for mental health treatment?
Oh, absolutely. This whole situation is giving me major flashbacks to the early research on MDMA, you know, ecstasy, for treating PTSD. Cast your mind back to the groovy 70s and 80s. Therapists were starting to explore MDMA's potential in psychotherapy. It was like opening Pandora's box, but in a good way.
Hold your horses, Kate. That's quite a stretch. MDMA and psilocybin are totally different beasts with very different effects. You're comparing apples
and... Whoa there, Eric.
And
I'm not saying they're the same thing. The parallel isn't in the substances themselves, but in how they were studied. Both were illegal drugs being investigated for therapeutic use. It's about the approach, not the chemical makeup.
Fair point, I'll give you that. But let's not forget that the MDMA research got shut down for decades because of recreational abuse. We're walking a tightrope here with psilocybin. One wrong move, and we could see the same thing happen all over again.
Interesting comparison. How did the MDMA research eventually progress, and what lessons can we apply to psilocybin research?
Great question, Ted. So, MDMA research got a second wind in the early 2000s. This time around, they came at it with super strict protocols and oversight. Fast forward to today, and it's now in phase 3 clinical trials for PTSD treatment. That's the home stretch, folks. We're talking about potentially life-changing treatment for people who've been through hell.
That's all well and good, but let's not gloss over the fact that it took over 30 years to get there. We need to be prepared for a long, careful research process with psilocybin.
Oh, come on, Eric. You're stuck in the past. The difference is that we now have way better research methods and a much deeper understanding of psychedelics. We can move faster and more safely. It's not the 70s anymore.
That's pretty optimistic, Kate. We still face significant legal and ethical hurdles in researching controlled substances. It's not just about the science, it's about navigating a complex regulatory landscape.
But don't you see? The potential benefits for patients suffering from BDD and other conditions make it worth navigating those challenges.
I'm not saying it's not worth studying, I agree that it is, but we need to proceed with extreme caution and rigorous scientific standards. We can't let enthusiasm cloud our judgment or rush the process.
Both of you make compelling arguments. Looking to the future, how do you see this research potentially unfolding? What are the best and worst case scenarios?
All right, let's dream big here. In the best case scenario, psilocybin could become a total game changer for treating BDD and potentially other mental health conditions. I'm talking FDA approval within the next decade. Imagine a world where people suffering from BDD can get relief with a carefully administered dose of psilocybin. It could revolutionize mental health treatment as we know it.
Whoa, slow down there, Kate. That's incredibly optimistic. A more realistic best-case scenario would be carefully controlled studies leading to limited supervised use in clinical settings. We're talking
about limited,
a
Eric?
Powerful...
If it's proven safe and effective, it should be widely available to those who need it. We're not talking about handing out magic mushrooms like candy. This would be a controlled medical treatment.
Because we're dealing with a powerful psychoactive substance, Kate. Unrestricted access could lead to misuse and abuse. We have to consider the broader implications beyond just the medical benefits.
You both raise important points. What about worst-case scenarios? What potential pitfalls should we be aware of?
The worst-case scenario is pretty grim. Psilocybin could turn out to have serious long-term side effects that weren't apparent in short-term studies. We could be looking at a situation where it actually worsens mental health conditions in some people. Think about the potential for psychotic episodes or exacerbating underlying mental health issues. It's not something to be taken lightly.
Oh, please. That's nothing but fear-mongering, Eric. The real worst-case scenario is that promising research gets shut down due to unfounded fears and stigma against psychedelics.
It's not fear-mongering to be cautious, Kate. We've seen promising drugs turn out to have serious side effects before. Remember thalidomide? That was supposed to be a wonder drug, and look how that turned out.
But we've also seen potentially life-saving treatments delayed by excessive caution. We need to balance safety with the urgent need for new mental health treatments. People with BDD are suffering now, Eric.
I agree we need new treatments, but not at the cost of patient safety. Rigorous long-term studies are essential. We can't rush this just because we're excited about the potential. The stakes are too high.
Of course, but we can conduct those studies efficiently without unnecessary delays. People with BDD are suffering now. Every day we delay could mean...
Thank you both for this spirited and informative discussion. It's clear that psilocybin research for BDD treatment holds both great promise and significant challenges. As we move forward, it will be crucial to balance scientific rigor with the urgent need for new mental health treatments. This is certainly a field we'll be watching closely in the coming years.